Well, good morning all. It's a real privilege again to preach here at the Parramatta Salvation Army. Today we continue our theme and our mission intentions that you can see here, caring for people, creating faith pathways, building healthy communities and working for justice. And today I've been asked to preach on this idea of working for justice and what that looks like for us as a Salvation Army. Well, the definition we have here is tackling the social systems that harm creation and strip away human dignity, and we join God's work to build a fairer world where all can thrive. That is what working for justice looks like. Well, when I began ministry many years ago, 2003 in Melbourne, I came across a pretty horrific situation. I'd only just become a lieutenant at the time. I had a phone call. It was actually my wife's birthday, the 11th of June. I still remember the day. And the phone call came from the police station, the local police station. They asked, as a youth worker in the area, if I could come down and see a young gentleman. His name was Aaron. And little did I know that this next few weeks was really going to change my thinking and change the way I reacted to systems in our society. But Aaron, I was asked to go down and see Aaron at the police station, and I met him in the foyer. We had a bit of a chat and I could tell he was a pretty broken young man. He was 17. I could tell he'd been on some sort of drugs and intoxication. And Aaron started to tell me his story, and that day he'd lost both his sister and his mother to drug overdoses. Absolutely horrendous situation. I dug a bit deeper to find out that Aaron's father was in prison on manslaughter charges, so Aaron was left by himself. Due to some of the drug problems and so on in the family, he had no one else to turn to. And I started this journey with Aaron, which continued for many, many months. What I discovered through this journey was when his world was at his lowest, he'd lost his sister and his mother. He had no one to help him, and I could step in as a Salvation Army representative and help him through this stage of life. We managed to get some funds together to do a funeral for his sister and his mum. There was literally 12 people at the funeral. We managed to get the dad out of prison for the day, thanks to our chaplains in the court system, in the prison system. And it was the most horrendous funeral I've ever conducted, my first funeral I'd ever conducted. It was a double funeral, and there was 12 people there. Three of them were security guards at each of the entrances while the father came in with handcuffs and shackles around his ankles. It was an absolutely horrendous time in Aaron's life. But when the social justice started to kick in, was not only the fact that we cared for Aaron, but when we started journeying with him, he was in a housing commission place in Melbourne. And as a 17-year-old, the first thing that happened when his family members passed away is he got a letter saying that he needed to leave the accommodation because he was underage. He was under the age of 18, and he needed to leave that facility. So as a Salvation Army, I got on the phone, I spoke to the housing commissioner, and I fought for Aaron. I fought for his rights. I fought for the fact that this young man should be able to stay in this house at this worst time ever in his life. He needed some stability, and we would be able to help him stay there. And we fought those systems, and we got him some sense of rights and privileges to stay in that house. And we helped him through the next stage of life, and we got him a bike and a few things and a few practical things and got him back on his way. And then in months to come, he was able to get some employment. And Aaron's life got slightly back on track. But it was a good lesson for me that the systems in this world don't always make sense, and they don't always help those doing life tough. We can be a voice for the voiceless. As God's people, as Salvation Army representatives, we can do that. And I was able to do that for Aaron during those horrific circumstances. Today we're looking at this scripture in Micah 6:8. What happens in this scripture? God basically says to the Israelites, you've been naughty again, you're not doing what I want you to do. And then the people come back and they say, oh, what can we do? We can sacrifice more, we can give you more, we can slaughter more animals and all those sorts of things they do in the Old Testament. And God comes back and says, no, I want you to do three things. I want you to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Sounds quite simple, doesn't it? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Well, this idea of acting justly, what does that look like for us today, 2021, here in Sydney? Well, William Booth said way back in 1912 this very famous statement, 3 months before he passed away, while women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. When men go to prison in and out as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a poor, lost girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight to the very end. Acting justly. William Booth set the standard. Salvation Army was not there just as a nice church to make everyone feel happy and sing nice songs. No, we were there to make a difference. People had one of my friends say to me, the definition of the Salvation Army is theology with its sleeves rolled up. It's about doing something. It's about acting justly. And so we've had these amazing examples of the Salvation Army over the years, of being an organisation that acts justly. I have here a matchbox. This is one of my favourite justice stories in the Salvation Army. Many of you will know this story, but it goes way back to 1891. James Barker, Colonel James Barker, who actually started the Salvation Army social work here in Australia, in Melbourne, he went back to London, and there was a big problem. There was a problem with Fossey Jaw. People working in match factories, and there was this disease there, and it was crippling workers, it was crippling families. It wasn't the only problem in the match factory industry. There was basically single mums with kids working 16 hours a day in those factories. And the other thing James Barker said was that the wages, if the Salvation Army got involved in this industry, they could triple the wages of the workers. That's how bad they were being paid. And for James Barker, it wasn't enough just to watch and comment on this situation. He had to act. He had to act justly. And so they set up a match factory, Lights in Darkest England, and they produced the first safety matches, non-phosphorus matches. So Fossey Jaw came from the chemicals they used in the match factories, phosphorus, and they produced safety matches as we still have today, without phosphorus. So there was no disease. There was no family members dying because of this disease. They were able to stay in their families. They were able to help their families through providing for them. So there's a few things on this matchbox. Hopefully you'll see it there on your screen. Security from fire. But then it says fair wages for fair work. He wanted to triple the wages of the workers and create matches that were safe. And workplace reform, make a safe a place to work. And then I love the fact on this matchbox, it says social wing, the social wing of the Salvation Army. Social work was so important for the Salvation Army. It was a part of our DNA. It was about getting involved in those systems and structures so people weren't treated badly. It was about stepping in for that person who was getting kicked out of their house, as we have the opportunity to do. Archbishop Desmond Tutu says, Christians shouldn't just be pulling people out of the river. We should be going upstream to find out who's pushing them in. To be neutral in a situation of injustice is to have chosen sides already. It is to support the status quo. What a fabulous quote. Christians shouldn't just be pulling people out of the river. We should be going upstream to find who's pushing them in. That's really what it means to be people of justice, working for justice. We need to get upstream. We need to solve those systems that push people to the brink. We need to be on top of the cliff, not the bottom of the cliff, so to speak. And it's great that we care for people and help people when they come into our centres, but what can we do at the front end of that so those people don't end up in our centres? And how can we get involved in those systems and change those structures so the world's a better place, the world's a fairer place to live, and God's will is done here on earth? Well, we all pray the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. We pray that so often because we want God's idea for a world, a fairer world, a world of justice here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that, and I honestly think we believe that, but we need to get involved as God's people to make sure that's acted out here in this world. So today, as you sit in your lounge rooms, your living rooms, your cars, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, I have some questions for you. What would it look like for God's will to be done here on earth, in Sydney, in Parramatta, or where you live? What would a world of injustice look like for people, especially those currently experiencing injustice? What would a world of justice look like for people? I ask you to think about that. I ask you to pray about that and see what God's asking you to do in that space. And then what are some of the injustices you see in the world? What are some of the ways we can work together for a more just world? And what are some of the challenges we face in working for justice? If you're watching this morning in a group, I encourage you to actually at the end of this, or you might just want to pause now and just actually talk about these questions. Discuss these questions with your spouse or your friends or whoever's watching this with you. Because when we do this in groups, when we do this in partnership with others, sometimes it's other organisations or other church members or other churches, we make even a larger difference in the world. And I think it's great that we discuss this and that we act in a way that brings God's ideals to earth. And people that do not have a voice, people that aren't protected, are protected, are fought for, are given a new sense of life and purpose because of our work and our love for others as God's people. I pray that you have a great day today, and as you go around life in your limited way at the moment, but as you read things, as you see things on television, I pray that you start looking at things in a different light. I encourage you to get up the stream, to get on the top of the cliff and try and make a difference in those systems and those situations that God would not like to see in our world today, and make a difference. Be God's people where you are. I pray that for you each this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, we want to thank you for who you are, and we want to thank you that you are a God of justice, that you love us each, that you care for us so much. And Lord, as you ask us to love one another, to be there for one another, help us to show that love, not only in the way we care for people, but in the way that we fight for the justices of this world, that we speak up, that we be courageous, that we get involved in those systems and those structures that aren't fair, that aren't just. And Lord, help us just have godly insight into those spaces, but also to have the courage to do something about them and know what to speak up about and how to act in those situations. And we pray, Lord, that the Salvation Army here in Parramatta will continue to act justly in our society and be a real voice, a real beacon of light for this community. I pray for everyone in this community that they will remain safe and healthy during these days, and that God will continue to bless us each as we go about his work. We pray in your name. Amen.